Today on the Library Channel, Matt Harp, Mover and Shaker. You're listening to the Library Channel. I'm Fred McElvain, your host, and today I'm joined by my co-workers, Mimo Bonani and Matt Harp.
Hi, Fred.
What's happening, Fred?
Mimo, why don't you tell us a little bit about the award that we're talking about today?
Sure. It's Library Journal's Movers and Shakers Award. The Library Journal, starting way back in 2002, began an annual supplement called Movers and Shakers to recognize up-and-coming leaders in the library profession. The process is interesting. It's actually a process where another individual, a library staff member, nominates someone else. So when you hear that you've been nominated for Movers and Shakers, that's usually a surprise, which is quite interesting and nice. And I think that's what happened to Matt Harp.
And who nominated him?
Jennifer DuVernay, myself, and Phil Konomos, Matt's boss.
So Matt, tell us how you found out you were nominated.
It was Christmas break. I go to my computer and there's an email saying that, you know, I had been awarded as a Mover and Shaker. And because I hadn't been checking my email, I got the secondary email before the primary one that says you've been nominated. So I thought there was a mistake. It was a bit of a shock to me.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
We nominated Matt because we're really, really quite proud of the Library Channel. Everything that Matt has done in regards to the groundbreaking video productions that have created for the channel, the successful Library Minute series has been seen and used throughout the world, and everything that the Library Journal touches and produces actually spotlights the library content and library staff very successfully. It's really quite obvious when you look at what he's done. He is a mover and shaker, especially in regards to being a marketer for libraries.
So what's your background, Matt?
Well, I do have a film degree from the University of Arizona, graduate 98, BFA in Media Arts. I worked in community outreach at the KCET PBS affiliate in Los Angeles shortly before coming to ASU. And when I started off here, we worked in the video resources department recording the distance learning classes. Once that particular program was phased out, I began working in informatics cyber infrastructure services. So what we kind of as a department saw an opportunity with some of the infrastructure we had developed for the distance learning programs over the years, both as a videotaped program to when we had our temporary our streaming video courses online that we did for, I don't know, about a year and a half. Well, once all that was phased out and turned over to different departments, we had some infrastructure there to support the production of content. So the first thing we did was we produced a couple of very short, essentially commercials for a couple of our exhibits. It was sort of ad hoc. There was no mandate. There was no grant proposal process. It was just sort of like, let's see if we can do this with what resources we have, and as long as it doesn't take away from what we're already doing. Because at the time, I was also helping to support the library website.
So was the Arizona road trip, right?
Yes, we did the first program we did was the Arizona road trip, which Christine Marine did. It was an exhibit that she had up in the Lures Gallery.
Right.
And it was a really interesting exhibit, and of course it lent itself to this visual presentation to sort of draw notice to it. And so we had this old SVHS camera. It was very, very, very basic. You know, we went in, we recorded it, and we brought you in to do, Fred, to do the narration on it, and we brought in some canned music and put it together, and there it went. And then shortly thereafter, we did another one for the Zipperstein collection of Jewish books that we had. There was a large donation of books. There was another exhibit, so we put that together. This also coincided when I was working with Rose Minetti on the Archives and Special Collections ASU Generations projects. When those came up, and again, this was all kind of happening around the same time.
Those were homecoming videos?
Yes, homecoming videos, ASU retrospective videos that archivist Rob Spindler came up with the idea on, and then I worked with curator Rose Minetti on putting these together. And so what we did was we home did it. We originally looked at outsourcing it to an actual video editing company, but that was really expensive. And so we have equipment. let's see what we can do. And so we put those together, and we started putting together these small projects. So what we essentially did was we developed sort of a workflow where we could create content and then get it out to the public. What happened with the development of RSS, or the implementation of RSS, and with iTunes, bringing that into the iTunes interface, is it popularized podcasting. So again, podcasting was really big in about 2005, 2006. Everybody was jumping on board. And we saw it as a really quick and effective way to, again, their way to get news out about things that were going on here at the library. Nothing's very linear with any of this. I mean, we started producing content early on. So, you know, we did some of these early promo videos. We did a What's New, where it just promoted our new resources that we had coming up that year. At the same time, there was a lot of synergy going on. There was a lot of, you know, we got a new director of marketing and outreach. So there was a greater focus on actually marketing the library. And we eventually implemented digital signage display screens, like many of the other departments around the campus were doing. So there was a need to produce content for that. There was a need to produce content with, and again, I mentioned RSS earlier. What that allowed us to do is to produce content, put it out there, and then users could essentially subscribe to it, and it would just come to them without them having to come to us. So it allowed us to produce content on our time, at our budget, when we saw necessary. And so we started producing, and it was mostly audio content then. So we started off in video. We kind of backed away from that, did a lot of audio podcasts, a lot of interviews like what we're doing right here. And then occasionally, a video project would come up. We had the video that we did with the Pyracantha Press, and it really helped promote them and showed all the things that they were doing. And then there were the Simon Ortiz lectures that started
recording.
Tell us
a little bit about those.
Well, that was us working, you know, the Labriola Center working with Professor Simon Ortiz, and they hold them over at the Heard Museum in downtown Phoenix. We've had lectures by, you know, Ned Blackhawk. We had Woman Man Killer, Leslie Marmon Silko.
So that's all part of the Library Channel.
Right. So that's all part of the Library Channel. And so the Library Channel has many facets.
So let's talk about the latest facet, which is the Library Minute.
Yeah, the Library Minute came about just a little over a year ago. And again, the idea with that was that within 1 minute, we could create not like a news piece per se, but just an info blurb that we could produce very easily. And again, under, you know, short time constraint, short budget. But by limiting it to 1 minute, we could just really focus on the content and make it user-oriented. In other words, we're not really getting into all the details that you may or may not care about, but we get it out there. The trick with that is that we started putting the content on the ASU YouTube channel. By putting it there, we leveraged the library content along with other departments on the university to provide greater visibility to library resources on par with what we actually do provide as a core asset of the university or a core function of the university.
These videos are really fun, quirky, entertaining. They really capture your attention right away. Anna Lee, the star of the video, comes off as being fun, and it looks like she's having a fun time doing it. How do you guys come up with all these really great ideas?
Well, that's really Anna Lee and Jenny.
Jenny, the marketing light.
Yes.
I remember as we started doing them, the first were pretty serious, and then...
Well, the first two are, you're never going to see them. they were very dry.
But then we threw balls at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I can't remember what number it was. We were somewhere along the line there, and we did the one about fun things to do at the library, and we're like, well, this is a fun thing, so let's just have fun with her.
Oh, even in the libraries, we have to take a break for the summer. As temperatures in the valley are rising over 110 degrees, I want to remind you that the libraries are a great place to cool off.
And we didn't really prep Anna Lee on what... We didn't even know. We completely ad-libbed the whole thing for the most part. I mean, we did have a basic... When Anna Lee comes in and does her thing, we just have basic ideas. We don't script it out completely. We try not to get into too much detail. So she showed up, she does her thing, and then sort of in the process of that, you know, we're like, well... Fun, summary, you know, we just started throwing things at her and it kind of went with that. And that, from that point, we sort of changed up the style of the videos. They were less like presentational, I'm pointing this out to you and then pointing that out and then next. It was just, obviously we have the running gag that's always been at the very end, you know, where she says something really, really just quirky.
Thank you for taking a Library Minute. ASU Libraries, shaken, not stirred.
Sometimes yeah, they're funny.
Really funny.
Yeah. Even when they're not funny, they're quirky, so people are still like, what?
Yeah. And you look forward to knowing what she's going to say at the end.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And some of the jokes are inside. We also try it sometimes to, you know, pull in content about things that ASU is doing, like with the biofuels and the tobacco plants, you know, defeating the West Nile virus. I mean, those are things, again, because we are the library, we want to help promote and bring in the university, because that's what we are.
So what's it like when you're directing a library minute? What do you do? Because it's obviously Annalee's having a good time. How do you draw that out of her, out of the librarian Annalee?
Multiple takes. Annalee actually, you know, and I have to say, you know, she had no media prior, real any media experience. She wasn't an on-air talent of any kind. She just sort of, whatever she brings to it is literally her coming to it. And you know, directing her is easy because we just let her go through it, and a lot of times she'll know when something's not working or whatever. But again, we try to keep it simple. You know, we only have 60 seconds,
right?
And that's really not a lot of time, but it is amazing how much we can throw into that.
You know what else is amazing is the post-production. Like all the, sure, you have ideas while you're shooting, but then there's even more creativity when you actually create the video.
Right,
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, and a lot of folks ask us, like, how do you make it? The first thing they want to know is, like, what kind of cameras do you use? And, you know, it's really not about the camera. I mean, there is, because we do use a green screen so that we can sort of throw Annalee in wherever we want to throw her. So you do need a fairly decent camera without getting into too many specifics here. But the majority of the work is in post-production. And what that means is after you're done rolling the camera and you turn everything off, you then have to take that footage, get it onto a computer, and start editing it. And editing is literally about cutting everything out. It's not about how much you put in, it's how much you take out. And again, keeping it short. And we can spend anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks working on one 60-second video because we try to fine-tune it as much as possible. We've had a few that even take longer. We've had a few that we've had to shoot over again for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. But again, because we present these things in the way that we do, we have that kind of liberty to do so. We can go back and not release until we're ready to.
Right.
And again, what we find is when we're going back over these things is just cutting them down.
Sometimes less is more, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, sometimes more is more because I like all the little visual pieces you put in that key off what Annalee is talking about, but it actually gives you, you know, we don't have to go into a long
And that is the hard part, and I think that's why it sometimes takes us more than just, you'd think, well, 60 seconds, I can just record it and throw it up the next day, but because we want to, and they're only on the screen for sometimes a few frames, you know, less than a second, and having that time right, it's the timing with her, with what she's talking about, maybe with what's going to happen at the end of the video, sort of building up to it. And you get, a lot of times you get ideas and you think, oh, this is going to work, and you throw it on there and then, ooh, you know, doesn't really play out. You know, a lot of times we'll shoot an introduction and we don't even use them.
Yeah.
Because it's just not necessary or it doesn't go with the feel.
So Matt, what's your favorite video, Library Minute video?
Should I say, like, you know, it's like all your children, you can't pick one over the others? Probably checking out books, just because, and it's one of our...
See, that's the one I was going to choose as well, and that's because of that wonderful idea of piling the books up on her. Mm-hmm.
Do you need a book? We have 4 million of them, so today I'd like to talk to you about how to find them, how to check them out, and how to bring them back.
There are some that we do that are definitely more gag-oriented than others, and so this was, I always felt that one was a nice balance between really providing information that people are going to use, getting a concept out there that seems pretty basic, like, you go to the library and you know how to check out a book, but a lot of people really don't know what are the different options that you have.
We also have to mention the very special Library Minute. I really enjoyed the PSA type.
That one's been popular.
Yeah.
This just in. There have been several reports of laptop thefts in the greater library area. Students, please do not leave your backpacks or laptops unattended, even for a moment. There are people that take things that do not belong to them.
The concept of the video was, don't leave your stuff behind because it only takes a few seconds for it to disappear. And hopefully we got our point across on that. And we noticed it's one of our most watched videos. I think Ponch and John show up in there at some point.
Well, actually, Basil Rathbone showing up.
Oh, yes.
That guy sitting next to you, or that one over there with the red hat.
Don't you trust me? Not an inch.
We try to be quirky, humorous, but at the same time very direct with the content. We had it through our digital signage rotation. We took it down, and then we were asked to put it back up.
Well, let's go on to your continuing education. What are you doing?
I'm in the Digital Information Management Graduate Certificate Program at the University of Arizona, and there's a few of these programs popping up around the country, but they're all very new. And the first thing I learned going into this was that there is no handbook and that everybody's sort of on the same page in the sense that there's no instructions for any of this.
So you're really on the cutting edge with the
Everybody is. You know, if you think about it, digital libraries really have only, and the way we're thinking of them these days, is a sort of a container for objects or virtualization of library resources.
But libraries haven't really started doing this in the last 5 years or so.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of folks are having these same issues that they have to deal with in creating their digital libraries. And a lot of the solutions that have been implemented out there have only gotten through because of large grants and consortiums. And we're trying to do similar things. You know, we're trying to create new solutions that have, you know, haven't really existed in the past, and rethinking how do we get resources to our users.
Is that what DigEN teaches you? Like, is it part of it project management, digitization?
A lot of it's project management.
Marketing.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, the actual digitization part of the technology, yes, there is a focus on that, but really the larger overall focus of the DigEN program is about actually just working with people. Because, you know, I remember reading something Clifford A. Lynch wrote about cyber infrastructure, and the main thing is people, because that's the hardest thing to move, you know, is people, educating them and getting them to work together, getting them to think differently, to be more flexible, because we are trying to move this giant ocean liner that's been sort of steaming along for like the past 2,500 years, and not necessarily get a new ship, but just get it to sort of change course a little bit, maybe dodge a few icebergs.
So tell me, how do you make time for all of this? You're a dad, you have two kids.
Yeah.
They're both in school.
I wait
take
till
classes.
They, yeah, it means a lot of late nights.
Lots of coffee,
a lot of late nights. You know, there's a lot of, it's just the way it is these days, you know. Online learning makes these things happen. There was no way I could do this without online learning. The DigEN program is 100% an online education program.
Does the DigEN program influence you back in regards to Library Channel productions?
It does, because being exposed to new technologies and new ways of thinking, it sort of gets you into that mindset of always thinking about how can we better do what we're already doing.
Like, for example, what you're doing with RSS. Like, there might be new Web 2.0 technologies that you might learn that you could capitalize
on. So who knows what the next thing is, but it's also thinking about where are our users at. You know, like for us delving into YouTube to the degree that we're doing it now, that's a major channel for us now. Why? Because our users are there, you know, and so we have to think about what other types of tools are our users using and how can we get out there to them.
Right. I suppose that's what you can get out of this is too, is that you need to go where the users are living, where the students are going.
So what do you see for the future?
I don't have a crystal ball.
I know.
Change is the constant, you know. I think that, yes, there's obviously that things are going to be more digital in the future, but there also is still going to be the need to how do we also simultaneously manage our analog resources. You know, we're still going to have things that are still in print. You know, how do we bridge these sort of two worlds that were currently existing? Or is there really two worlds? Is that just sort of a myth? I don't know.
Well, Matt, congratulations on your award.
Hey, thanks. You know, I'm in good company. There was Jenny Duvernay, Catherine O'Clair, and Ann Eubank. We're all mover and shakers before myself, and, you know, I'm humbled, to say the least.
Well, thank you, Mimo.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Matt, and really, congratulations. We're very proud of you.
Thanks, Fred, and thanks for having me here. This has been fun.
For more information or to give us feedback, visit us at lib.asu.edu/librarychannel. Thanks for listening.